Hi, I'm Mana Moyni, and you're listening to the Humanity Podcast. Hi, everyone. Thank you for being here. Today's topic is self-reliance. Self-reliance is one of the best traits a person can have. It's the ability to do things and make decisions by yourself, having the power within you to achieve your goals, invest in yourself, and own your future. Joining me for this conversation is Maha Abu Elanayin. She's the founder and CEO of Digital and Savvy, a strategic communication consulting firm based in the US and Dubai. Her clients include Gary Vaynerchuk and Deepak Chopra. Maha has more than 30 years of experience advising corporations, startups, governments, and high net worth individuals. Additionally, she sits on the board of directors of the Associated Press. She states that her mission is to help people communicate better. We're going to talk about Maha's journey, the importance of one's personal brand, and the power of self-reliance. Hi, Maha.
Hello, Mana.
Thank you for being here today.
I'm excited. This is a great show, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Maha and Mana.
I know. M&M.
M&M. It means so much to have you here. You are multicultural. You've traveled all over the world. You lived in Dubai for many years. How many years?
I lived 8 years in Dubai, 15 years in Egypt.
Wow. What is your favorite part about traveling the world?
I think traveling teaches you so much, right? You get to learn about the people, about the culture, about the way people do business differently. And then you develop friendships over the different food you're eating and the business that you're doing. So I think traveling for me is like learning. Like it's something that I always gain something from every experience. And I really try to like whenever I go on a business trip or I travel on somewhere on vacation, try to like really embrace yourself in what you're experiencing because it can be very valuable and you don't know what kind of opportunities will come from it.
So with all the travel you've done, are humans more similar than we are different?
100%. 100%. I feel like people want the same thing. They want to feel seen. They want to feel loved. They want to feel part of a community. They want to feel life and they want to feel vibrant and they want to have empathy for others. I think way more we have more in common than we don't have in common. I just think people get wrapped up in a lot of the noise and don't kind of find that commonality. I think like when the total eclipse happened, everyone universally said, oh, we feel so united around something. Because when we think about our space in the universe, we don't realize we're all human beings that are part of this planet. And I took that away from that big moment.
Totally. I wish there were more moments like that.
Yeah.
But we have to create them. How did, you know, going from the global scale to you, how did being Egyptian and growing up in Minnesota, Midwest, how did that shape you?
Yeah. So Minnesota, I grew up in the 70s and 80s and 90s in Minnesota. So back then there wasn't internet, you know, so a lot of people didn't know what was Egypt, didn't know what were Egyptian cultures. Like I was a foreigner in Minnesota. A lot of Minnesotans are blonde hair and blue eyed. And even though I was born and raised in Minnesota, lived here my whole life, I'm an American citizen, I didn't really feel Minnesotan, right? So a lot of times it was a lot of traditions and things that would happen in our culture that we had to explain, like what's Ramadan and what's a Muslim and what's prayer and all the foods that we eat and all the traditions we have. And now fast forward to today, it's incredible. Like the Minnesota Vikings are posting on their social media in Arabic, Eid Mubarak, which is our holiday, and people are acknowledging Ramadan and people are fasting, even though they're not Muslim, to kind of show empathy with what you're going through and how to do it and the ritual. So I feel like growing up in Minnesota when I was little, I was really trying hard to fit in. Like I didn't really, you know, I wasn't like everybody else in my school. But I had a great childhood. I had a great upbringing. My parents were really good about inside the four walls of our house, it was Egypt. the rules, the food, the customs and the traditions. Open the door, you're in America, you go outside. So I got to live kind of both the American and the Egyptian cultures in both parts of my life growing up. And I took the best of both worlds.
I think the skill to acclimate is a really special one and a beautiful one. I had to do so as well as an immigrant. Mm-hmm. What inspires you?
People inspire me. I think the way that the world is changing is really inspirational to see how technology is impacting what we're doing, how people are able to kind of come closer together and to learn from other people. So I get really inspired by the people around me. And I get inspired by a lot of things. I get inspired by my family, by books, by film, by reading, by interacting with other people. So it's not just one thing that inspires me. It's more like the fabric of life in general brings inspiration. And I draw from many sources to be inspired.
One of the things I admire about you is I feel like you're always trying new things and new experiences. Do you think as humans we spend enough time investing in ourselves, whether it's increasing our knowledge or focusing on our health?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if I am not learning, I'm not growing. If I'm not growing, I'm dying. So I feel like the world's got so much out there to take advantage of. Like, learning is a really good way to invest in yourself. Like, if there's new things out there, why shouldn't I embrace them? Like, I was just telling my team yesterday, I saw this video. It was like, oh, how to get more protein in your diet. Like, I want to know how to get more protein in my diet. Like, that hooked me. And I'm going to learn new ways to eat better. Like, I want to embrace all that stuff to invest in myself. That's why I love reading. That's why I like listening to podcasts. Like, I feel like there's so many interesting people out there sharing knowledge for free. It's on the internet for free. Why wouldn't I take advantage of it? And I feel like being a lifelong learner means that you're spending time not actively learning, but just trying to like pick up what you can from the experts that are out there. We know so much more about science and about our health. We're going to live longer, and that longevity is a big deal. Like, so we can live longer, so we can experience more joy in our lives. So there's so much happening in the market. So I feel like, why not take advantage of it and invest that into yourself?
And I think a part of what you're saying too, people who tend to lean towards being more curious probably spend more time doing those things.
And it's like, it's not that hard to find is my other point too. It's like, it's on the internet for free. Like, if you like YouTube videos, watch videos. If you like listening to podcasts on your walk or in the airport or on your drive to work, like, absorb content, because there's so many good things out there. So it's not that hard. I don't even think it's a matter of you need to be curious. You just need to know where to go to find it.
Sure, sure. And being intentional, too, about what you're consuming.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of, you know, taking a leap, you just wrote a book.
I did.
It'll be out this fall. Congratulations.
Thank you.
The 7 Rules of Self-Reliance.
Yes.
What does self-reliance mean? I'm sure you've had to explain this.
Yeah, I think, okay, I like to explain it as what it is not. Self-reliance doesn't mean go it alone, I don't need anybody. What it means is you have the tools and the power within yourself, if you believe in yourself, have confidence in yourself, to actually do the things you want in your life and take it forward. So, you know, if you say, well, I don't know a lot of people and I don't know how to like get things done, I need to rely on other people to help me, I'm giving people the rules of how to rely on themselves, how to build their own network, how to nurture those relationships so you can rely on yourself, how to build your own personal brand. Because if you are strong and you personal brand equals reputation, you'll be able to go out and get what you want for your business, for yourself, and your job, and your career. I teach skills like how to create value for other people. Like, if I'm in a friendship or a relationship or a business relationship with you, how do I give you value so that you continually invest with me or grow with me or keep me as an employee because I'm continuously bringing you value? So I'm teaching skills that people need to rely on themselves instead of waiting for permission from others, instead of waiting for that manager to anoint you that famous project that's going to make you a rock star. Like, how do you take the ownership back in your own hands? And especially AI is coming. We're hearing about a lot of mass layoffs. There could be another pandemic. You know, I don't want to be worried about my future. I want to own all the skills myself. And that's what the premise of self-reliance focuses on.
Have you always been self-reliant?
Yes and no. So there's times where I had to rely on myself to dig myself out of something. And there's times where I wish I had those skills so I could rely on myself and not wait for others. So it's yes and no. Like some experiences in my life, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to just figure this out on my own. And some of the experiences, I'm like, no, I need to figure out, like, if I had those skills, I could have done it by myself.
So in that vein, how do you define success?
I think everyone defines success differently, okay? For me, it's about staying true to my values. And I have, like, my values are being authentic, helping other people, and creating value for other people. So if I am able to be authentic and create value for others and help others, that's what I define success as. And it's not personal success or financial success or business success, because I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, I have to look myself in the mirror. I have to put my head in that pillow knowing that I'm a good person or I do the right things or I try to do the right things. And so I think that's where success is measured kind of in my book.
So you've kind of coined the phrase, stay low, keep moving.
Yes.
And then you go on to say, let your work and reputation speak for itself.
Yep.
Tell us about that philosophy.
Okay, so it's sort of been my mantra for a long time to stay low, keep moving. I didn't coin the phrase. I actually, one of my friends used to always say it. And then when I came to write the book, I looked it up. And stay low, keep moving is a military term where you're basically when you're down on your feet and you need to like inch forward, stay low, keep moving so you don't get hit by arsenal or by a target. And so I kind of took it as a metaphor for life of stay low, keep moving. Stay low, put your head down, you know, don't worry about what other people are doing to distract you. Don't worry about the noise. Don't worry about the jealousy. Don't worry about the competition. Just kind of stay low and put your head down and do the work. Put in the work. Put in the effort. So stay low. Not look at me. Look what I did. You know, don't celebrate your accomplishments. Let your work speak for itself. So don't feel the need to promote your ideas and yourself when you really need to just do the hard work. So that's the meaning of the stay low part. And keep moving is like keep moving because you're going to face setbacks. You're going to fail. You're going to have people want to take you down. You're going to have people jealous of your success. You're going to make mistakes. You just have to keep moving. So that's kind of why I had that as like a mantra. I used to, my company always signed my emails at the end to my team, like stay low, keep moving. Like just like you guys got this, like stay low, put your head down, put in the effort and keep moving.
I've read, you know, on social media, there's these quotes that say a good reputation is something that can never be taken from you.
Yes. So our reputation is all we have. The only thing, Mana, that you actually own is your name. You may own a house or a car or this microphone or this chair, but all that can go away. What will never go away is your name. And your reputation is the most important thing that you own. And I like people to think about it as a currency. What's its worth? What's its value? How do you protect it? How do you build it? So a lot of time people say, oh, I don't want to do personal branding. It's like a lot of self-promotion. Look at me. Look what I did. I'm so cool. I'm like, no, personal branding is not about self-promotion. It's about idea promotion. And it's about thought leadership. And the reason you need to build your personal brand is because you need to protect your reputation. So if you don't do it, you can sure as hell bet that someone else will do it for you, right? Someone will talk about you. Someone will say something. Someone will, you know, try to build them up by, you know, putting you down. So you've got to own your reputation. And so I want people to be intentional about how they treat it and how they put things out on, like once you put something out on the internet, it's not whack-a-mole, you can't get rid of it, right? So why don't you think about, oh, I need to be proactive and like, how do I show up in the world? How do people see me? what is my reputation? And you know, we live in a 24-hour real-time cycle of news and culture and internet, and cancel culture is alive and well. So I just, the reason I care so much about reputation is it's your name, you need to protect it, you need to build it, and you need to own it.
And you've talked about being able to explain who you are in a sentence.
Yes.
I think a lot of people, if we were to be put on the spot, we don't even know like where to start, right? It's, hi, I'm Mana, and then you kind of freeze a little bit. Like what, why is that so important?
I think it's identity. Like you need to be able to articulate who you are and what you care about, right? And I feel like we don't have a lot of genuine relationships. We have a lot of social media relationships. And so when you meet people, you want to connect with them. And the way you can connect with them is by telling them your story. And by telling them the story, you need to explain who you are. So a lot of people, when you meet someone at a party or an event or a business function, they're like, oh, what do you do? You know, everyone asks about your job or your career. You know, what you do is not who you are. So defining your narrative is who you are. And that's why I always think about, like, what are you passionate about? That really, if someone says, like, who are you or what are you about or what do? You can be able to articulate that clearly.
I love that, because if we're not clear on our narrative, it kind of tends to become what we do a lot of the time in conversation center.
Yeah, which is fine if it's what you do, because like people want to be like an author or a storyteller or an athlete or a photographer or a chef, or those are all amazing things to be. But I'm just saying, like, when the reason I tell the importance of finding your narrative, because I want people to feel proud of who they are, proud of their stories, proud of what they stand for, proud of their values in a world that's doesn't really have a lot of values on a pedestal. Like, I think we should.
So we know self-reliance is important.
Yep.
How does networking play a part within that? And is there like a juncture where they meet one another?
You have to build your own network. Your network is the most important thing, because we can't do anything alone. If you think you can go it alone and succeed in life, you're sorely mistaken. You need a network of friends, of family, of business associates, relationships that you can rely on. Self-reliance is not about going it alone. It's about having the power or the knowledge to, like, oh, I need to build a network. I need to have my own relationships. I don't need to rely on somebody's relationships for things that I need. I need to cultivate a network. I need to build a network. I need to serve my network. A lot of people think a network is there to serve them. Like, oh, I have a network? Okay, that's great. I can ask them for favors. That's not what a network is for. It's about mutual value. It's about mutual, you know, giving and taking. It's not like, okay, when I need a favor, I'll just use my network.
Do you have any tips on like networking correctly? Because I think people get a little frustrated because they go to these events, they're like, you know, overwhelmed with the amount of people they meet, and then those relationships never really go beyond that happy
anywhere.
Hour.
Yeah, it's daunting. So like I remember, because I used to go to these events and like by myself and I don't know anybody and it's a room full of strangers. How am I going to meet anybody? I really need to network. I need to get some contacts. I want to meet a lot of the people. They might be potential clients in the room. So a couple things I do when I go to events, especially when I know nobody and I'm by myself. So one is try to find I go prepare with a couple of thought starters of things that I want to say, or introductions, like how to introduce myself in a way that, you know, gets someone to engage with me. And I always think about a couple of topics that I want to talk about, so I don't get like frozen and freak out in advance. So like I'll go up to people and start just like talking about some of the things I thought about. And then if I get to know somebody and I exchange like their phone number, or I decide that I want to try to take this contact and build a relationship with, like I might meet you, and then, you know, we decide that we want to talk about something outside the event, we'll exchange phone numbers. What I'll do is I'll take a selfie with you and then I'll text it.
That's a good idea.
To you, because you're going to meet a lot of people at that event and you're going to forget and you're not going to save my number right away. But then what I did is I put my name, I took a selfie, I texted you that selfie. So then when I come to text you, you'll say, oh, that was the person that I met, and she put a photo, and then they'll save the name and they'll save the number. So that's the first kind of tip that I give people. The second thing is, you know, especially if people are at not an event, like you want to network with somebody online, like through LinkedIn or through Instagram. And there's a lot of effective ways, I talk a lot about this in the book too, of how to network online. Because like, what if you don't go to an event and you need to meet people? Don't try to get all the business done on a DM. Like, how many of us get so many messages on LinkedIn and you just like can't even get to them? The point is to take the conversation off of LinkedIn or off an Instagram DM or off a Twitter DM and get them into, I'd love to set up a meeting with you. What's the best way to arrange that? Here's my email, but if you can send me yours, can we take the conversation on email? So, and two things with that. One is I tell them I don't want to sit and have DMs with them so that they don't get annoyed. Two is I ask for their email, but I offer mine first. So it's not like I'm just saying, hey, give me your email. I'm like offering a chance for them to say, okay, give me your, they'll email me so like I can give them the balls in their court. So I don't feel like, hey, I'm just trying to get your email. And that always works. If I just say, what's the best way to schedule a meeting? I'd love to talk to you about X. I'd like to email you. And I'd also like to share my email. So that shows that you're giving a piece of information. You're not just taking from them. And then you should be specific about what you want to talk to them about. And then try to take the conversation off of DM. The last thing on networking is a lot of people are introverted. And it's very daunting to go to an event if you're an introvert. So a lot of things that I recommend, a lot of things about this are in the book, but one is go with a friend. Go with somebody familiar to you so that you're not having to deal with a room full of people by yourself. Somebody to sit with, someone that you can maybe, you know, have a snack with. But if you go to an event with somebody and you're introverted, it's nice to have that familiar face. Secondly is not a lot of people who are introverted love those big rooms that are very loud, like we want to get off to a quiet space. And so when you do meet somebody, suggest that you do meet in a location where you feel more comfortable, like an environment that feels more kind of comfortable for you. And I think the third thing for people who are introverted and going to these big events, you know, like I did when I go to events, I think of a couple of thought starters or topics in advance. So I don't have that anxiety of dealing with, okay, what am I going to bring up? Or how am I going to get the hook for the meeting? Or how am I going to ask them if they would join my community? So go in with a few asks that you can kind of prepare with in advance.
Thank you. That was
a lot. It's
no, that was really helpful. And I think reframing our minds to think about the online piece as networking can really change your approach because it is a form of networking.
It is a form of networking. The amount of the way you could, I mean, there's a whole bunch of tips on how to do LinkedIn properly. Right. Like a lot of people do LinkedIn the wrong way. And LinkedIn is probably one of the most valuable platforms we have today. And I feel like if you don't master LinkedIn, it's not only a terrific business tool and lead generation or relationship building, it's not just for looking for a job. You really can create genuine relationships from LinkedIn. I got on the board of directors of the Associated Press because of a message I got on LinkedIn.
Wow.
Yeah, so like you have to like pay attention and you have to be there, but you have to do it well.
Well said. So in the spirit of networking, you said this a little bit ago in terms of it's not what your network can do for you, but what you can do for your network.
Yes.
You have said, and I love this, if you live your life creating value for others, you ultimately create value for yourself.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I feel like a lot of times my friends are like, oh, you're going out of your way, you know, for that client, or you're doing this and that and the other thing, and you're really giving them too much, or you're creating too much value. Like, I think that my role with my clients or my friends, my relationships, is to give people value. And I'll tell you about a non-business example. You know, both of my parents were handicapped and very sick for a very long time. And I really didn't want to put them in a nursing home or do something where they had to go outside for care. I did the care at home. And I wanted to do small things that would make them happy and small things to bring value to them and little things to make joy in their days because they were very, very sick. And ultimately that brought value back to me. I learned compassion. I learned empathy. I learned patience. I learned, you know, how to care for somebody and how happens when you get later in life and you get sick. And it's not, that's why you want to take care of yourself. But that brought a lot of value to me. Even in my work experiences, if I do something to create value for a client, I'm actually creating value for myself because I'm learning something new. I'm learning a new skill. I'm pushing myself to challenge myself to do something I'd never done before. And I feel like a lot of people think giving value to other people is only good for the other person, when in fact, you're the one that's gaining experience, getting the knowledge, creating new relationships, building more credentials. So it's good for you to give value for others because you ultimately give value to yourself.
I love that. I think we lose sight of what's really important at times. Thank you for sharing that vulnerable story. Switching gears a bit, going back to your book, which is very exciting. Did you always know you wanted to write one? And how did you know now was the right time?
That's such a good question. So I always wanted to write a book, but it was like 10 years, like more than 10 years. I'm like, I'm going to write a book. And it was going to be a memoir. And it was going to be about my life of growing up Egyptian in America, then moving back to the Middle East. And it was going to be about like my personal story of, you know, the dual culture life and my growing up. And all. It was going to be a memoir. But then I was like, well, who's going to read that? No one's going to care. Like, no one's going to want to read my story. No one's going to read my book. So then it was kind of like a back burner thing. And then I was like, listen, I also have had a really incredible communications career. I worked for prime ministers and heads of state and Google and Netflix. And I work now in the U.S. with Gary Vee. And I've done some projects, a project for Deepak Chopra and Eva Longoria. So I've done some things that I thought, well, you know, I actually have some really fun work experiences that, especially in the world of communications, you know, people might be able to learn from the advice I'm giving all these big names. Why don't I take a playbook and help other people with that information? So then I was like, okay, maybe I should make it's a business and leadership book. And I put my personal stories in there to show those examples. And so then it was like 2018, I'm going to do it. Then it's 2019. And then it was like 2020. It's like the pandemic. Perfect. We're stuck at home. I'll write a book. But then we're going through COVID. We're going through all these other things. So I'm like, that's not a good time to take on a big project because are we going to survive this pandemic? And we're on lockdown. And so then it was 2021, and I was like, okay, are you just going to talk about this goal every year and have it on your list of things to do? Are you actually going to do it? So then I was like, but I don't really know how to write a book, and I don't know how to publish a book. So I got to go ask people now, rely on myself, get the answers. What's the book publishing process? You have to have a proposal. You have to write something. Oh, what are the chapters going to look like? Anyways, long story short, in 2022, I was like, that's it. I'm doing this, I'm gonna write this book, and I'm gonna make it happen, I'm gonna write a proposal. So I wrote the proposal, and then last year, 2023, I wrote the book. I got a book deal from Hay House, which is now owned by Penguin Random House. I actually wrote a proposal, got a book deal, which is great, and the book deal, they give you an advance to write the book, and then they support you through the process. And wrote the book last summer, took me a couple of months, and the reason why I think the timing worked now is I feel like we had spent 2 years in this pandemic trying to figure out who we are and what we're doing and how we're going to work. And then AI came on and I'm like, listen, if people aren't ready for the future and they don't have the tools they need to rely on themselves, and then a lot of people are going to be in trouble because these are life skills. They're not just like work skills. So one of the chapters is called No Regrets. It's like really hard to live with no regret, but like, what does that mean? Like all the things that happened to you become part of your story. And those are all the good things, the scars, the wins, the losses. And that's part of humanity is having that like thought of this whole world is my world and I have to embrace that as my story. And so anyway, so the book is got done last year and it comes out. It's like a long process. Comes out next fall.
I can't wait to read it.
Thank you.
I pre-ordered it.
I can't wait for people to read it too. And I really hope it helps people. It's going to inspire a lot of people. It's definitely going to educate a lot of people. And it's going to give a lot of people playbooks. Like, okay, how do I actually network properly online and in person? All the tricks that I've used to get into some of the most powerful rooms in the world, from Super Bowl parties to business networking events, like, how do you do it? And so I've said, like, I'm going to tell everybody, because I think, like, everyone is capable of doing it. I didn't grow up being self-reliant, but it's definitely a skill anybody can master.
What would you tell somebody, and maybe you do in the book, somebody who wants to start something but is dragging their feet, doesn't know where to start, or is just scared?
Yeah, it actually is in the book. So I think a lot of reason we don't take initiative for things that we really want to do. Like, we really want to lose weight. We really want to book that trip. We really want to start our own business. We really want to start a side hustle. We really want to have our own podcast. It's fear of judgment of others. And isn't that a terrible way to go about your life, is not doing something because you think other people's opinions are more important than your own?
We waste a lot of years doing that.
A lot. And I think now we're smarter. Society's smarter. People get it. Like, you do need to go all in on yourself. You should invest in yourself. You should make yourself happy. Imagine if everyone spent time making themselves happy, how everything would operate differently. Instead of pointing fingers at other people, we could, like, start to look at ourselves. And I feel like that's the reason why everyone's capable of practicing self-reliance, because I feel like it's very empowering. It's about confidence. It's about believing in yourself. It's about being, you know, you're owning your self-worth. And I feel the reason why people don't do what you said, they don't do the projects that they want, or they don't do, is they're afraid of other people. And so a lot of the stuff in this book is like, here's some baby steps you can take to crawl out of it. There is a chapter, actually the first chapter of the book is called Don't Be a Waiter, Be a Creator. Because a lot of times we're waiting. We're waiting for Mr. Right. We're waiting for a better job to come along. We're waiting for someone to give us a promotion. We're waiting for someone to give us a sign. We're waiting. Somebody told me, you're a waiter. He said that to me.
To you.
And I'm like, what do you mean? This was like a long time ago. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you're waiting. You're not actually doing anything yourself. You're just kind of, you're going through life. You're doing all the motions. You're doing all. And actually, after he said that, it was my aha moment where I'm like, oh, I don't want to be a waiter. Waiting for what? And he's like, you're just waiting for good things to happen to you instead of going out and creating that. And so then I was like, okay, I'm not waiting around. I'm not going to wait for to get in shape. I'm not going to wait for taking that trip I always wanted to take. I'm not going to wait for starting my own business, even though I have no idea how to run a business. And that's what I did. Like, if you don't practice, you're not going to be able to do it.
Wow. And I think what I'm learning from just starting this whole thing is you have to give yourself grace, because you're starting and you're going to learn a lot and you're probably going to fall on your face a couple times.
Yeah.
So don't be a waiter and give yourself some grace.
Yeah. Like, take it. We judge ourselves too. Like, we're like, oh, we're not successful after this. Like, you know, we also, I think it's because the reality of the world we live in today is everything sort of like instant gratification. I want information now. I want to succeed now. I want, like, results now from working out or whatever. People want things instantly and they don't have the grace or the patience to say, you know what, I need time. And then when you step back and look at your life or reflect on a period over time, it's actually rewarding, because you're like, oh, I did that, and that, like, took me a year, but I did it.
Did you learn anything about yourself that you didn't realize during just the last couple years of, like, writing the book and figuring out publishing and doing all that stuff?
I mean, yeah. I mean, first of all, I'm very critical of myself. Like, I'm like, oh, that chapter's not good. Redo it. Rewrite this. Take this piece. So, like, I learned a lot about, like, okay, I got to trust myself. The first edit was good. Don't rewrite it. Don't re-obsess over it. Like, is this a good story? Is this valuable? So I feel like I went through that whole process of like questioning, because I really want to bring something valuable for the readers. So I'm like, okay, add more, add more. The second thing is never underestimate how long a project like that takes, right? So carving out the time to like write the book, edit the book, market the book, sell the book, create the community for the book. It's a big undertaking. And I think of all the authors before me that did this, I'm like, this is a whole world that we know nothing about. And so I've been sort of documenting the process. So if somebody wants to write a book, like they can have the cliff notes of like, okay, here's how you can do it and take the shortcut for it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun for other people. I want other people to write books.
Is there a piece of advice that you've been given recently or in your life that's just always stuck with you?
The piece of advice that sticks with me is one that my dad gave me. And he's like, put your head down and let your hard work speak for itself. And that's just kind of like how I've operated. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do the hard work, put in the effort. Doesn't mean I haven't failed. I've failed a lot. I've been fired from jobs. I've lost jobs. Like, it's just part of life. But like the grand scheme of things is like, you know, I'm going to put in the hard work. And I never at any point, like I was just job, then I went to another job, then I went to another job. I never took a step back and said, oh, that's a career. And when I started to look at a career, then I was like, oh, I did something. But before that, I was always like in the minutia of the day to day. And I feel like a lot of people who are listening to this, if you think you're in the minutia of the day to day now, take a step back and look at what you've done over time, and then you'll feel really good about yourself. One of my other really good friends in Dubai, like one time I was like, oh, this guy asked me to do this thing and I don't know how to do it and I'm stuck and I gotta deliver this thing and I really gotta pull deep to figure out how to do this. And she's like, girl, you go home and read your CV, your resume. And she's like, you go read your resume just to kind of give me like a boost. And she's like, you've done hard things. You can do this. And I feel like, again, a lot of times we never give ourselves enough credit, give ourselves enough grace. And so I think people should think about that. Like, you know, be proud of yourself. We never celebrate ourselves. We are our worst critics. The self-talk that we give ourselves, the negative self-talk, the things that we're always unhappy with, is such a loud voice in our heads. And so I want to remind people, like, hey, take a step back. Give yourself a pat on the back. Look at what you've accomplished. Look how far you've come. And I feel like that's the good advice that I've gotten. Whenever I feel like, oh, shit, I'm in a bad spot, I reflect on that. And I'm like, okay, things are going to be fine.
I'm curious, just because you seem like you have it down in terms of getting yourself out of that place. But what does that look like on days where you're feeling like they're not the best day or you're not being so kind to yourself? How do you turn that page?
It actually happened recently where I was like, okay, we're grinding now. Okay, we're in the mud. Like the wheels are stuck. What do? I just like move your one day at a time. Just stay low, keep moving one day at a time. Know that it's not going to last forever. And you're going to push out of it. Like, I don't know how, and I don't know what, and I don't know when, but I know it's going to get better. And just having that hope and optimism, and like, obviously you have to put in the work to make things happen. Miracles aren't just going to fall from the sky. But I'm always like, okay, it's going to take longer than I thought, but we're going to get through this. Or it's going to be like an example, like if we lost a client. We lost a client because this is in December. The client ended up switching jobs and they didn't want to renew. And the leader of that account was leaving the company. And so the replacements, like, we can't sign new contracts now. So we're like, we lost a piece of business. I'm like, oh crap. Like, that's a big contract financially to lose. And I'm like, okay, we're going to be fine. We're going to get through it. But clients just don't fall from the sky. Like, we got to, like, it takes months to get a new client. So I'm like, okay, well, how do we manage now? What do we have to do for cost cutting? What do we have to do for saving? So you just have to like take the small baby steps and not freak out and know that good things will come. Just put in the hard work, stay low, keep moving. And eventually it took us several months, but we did land a client. So I was like, phew, because financially, like, it could have really hurt your business.
Right. So take a minute, figure out the steps, and you're going to be okay.
Yeah, and just push through it. Like, I just know that it's not going to last forever.
Okay, lastly, we have been asking everyone who's come on the show about a story of kindness, whether it's happened to them or that they've witnessed that just left a lasting impact and maybe changed the way you live your life.
So many people have been kind to me throughout my journey. Honestly, I didn't get to where I am without the help of many, many, many people. So it's the kindness from my managers that helped me, who gave me direct feedback that I probably didn't want to hear, but that was actually probably the kindest thing they could have done for me. The publisher who took a chance on me as a first-time author to write my, to give me the book deal to do this book. Countless people, actually. One of my really close friends that works at Google, and I used to work at Google in Dubai, he's always showing me what kindness means in the face of a lot of adversity. So when he's having a bad day or he's going through stuff, he's always there to show me, hey, how can I help you? How can I be there for you? What can I do for you? Or checking in on me long distance to see that. So I think it's so many small random acts of kindness that I've been really blessed to have people who've helped me along my journey. And I also try in myself to find a way to be kind to other people and to reach out to other people who, especially, you know, after going through what I went through with my parents and they were both severely handicapped, like, you got to show kindness to people who are struggling with their health or people who are older, people who have responsibility for aging parents or a loved one or somebody who's sick. And at the end of the day, we're all humans. We're only on this planet for so long, and it doesn't cost anything to be nice to somebody, and you never know how that could change their world or their day by just giving somebody a compliment and showing them a little bit of kindness, pay it forward at the Starbucks line or the person behind you in the drive-thru. I just feel like we need more of it. That's why I love that your show is about this, because it spreads a message that a lot of people need to hear.
Thank you. And I think, I always think about when we talk about, you know, when we're all gone, people just remember how we made them feel.
Yes.
Right? They don't remember all the other things. Maha, thank you so much for being here today. I know how busy you are. Your kindness to take the time to be here and all of your tidbits and tricks are so invaluable. It means so much to me that you'd be here. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
I want to leave the listeners with this. There's a famous quote on self-reliance that says, insist on yourself, never imitate. Self-reliance is really important, but as we just heard, so is building connections and networking. We all have to figure out the right balance for ourselves. Thank you for being here, and thank you for being a part of this community. I hope you have a wonderful day.